Marketing for Humans, bringing the human back into marketing. Hello there, I'm Christina Fry, founder of Innate Marketing Genius, where marketing is grounded in your unique way of helping people. Season 3 of this podcast is a set of 7 interviews from marketing professionals that I've used myself in the last few months. I interviewed them all for my Summer Marketing Academy within my Facebook group, The Innate Marketing Geniuses, which you are welcome to join. And today's episode features Zach Rebelletti, an SEO expert based in Chicago, Illinois. And that's his entire gig, SEO. It's his true passion. And you might find that odd, and honestly, so did I when I first hired him. But it turns out that SEO is not simply mechanical like I thought. There's a lot going on I wasn't aware of, which you'll hear about in this episode. I hope you feel the same way once you've listened to Zach. I mean, hey, if it gets you great clients, why not give it a shot, right? So here's Zach Rebelletti.
So we are going to get going. I love that it's now officially official.
Nice.
So welcome, Zach Rebelletti.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're from Get Focused.
Web Focused.
Web Focused.
Yeah, the URL is Get Web Focused. The business is Web Focused.
Okay. So getwebfocused.com. That's yes. Where you can find Zach.
Yep.
I never thought I would be talking to an SEO professional because
I don't know how to take that, Christina.
Because I really resisted how mechanical it is forever. Like where I come from, an innate marketing genius, it's all about human to human contact. Let's really be real with each other. Let's be authentic. La 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 la. And SEO just seemed like the machinery behind everything I just didn't have time for.
Right.
So I'm kind of like surprised at how much I appreciate SEO now, thanks to working with you, which is why I wanted to invite you on.
That's
a
great compliment. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
On behalf of all SEOs, I'm glad that I could be the one to turn you over, to turn you on to SEO.
Yes. Yeah. So why don't we start off with, I would love a couple of case studies, like, because SEO, there's so many ways to use it, right? Yeah. Like I just Googled, you know, top SEO tips, and there's like 26 things you can do to get a decent Google ranking. Mm-hmm. So I think what would really help is just to look like, here's how you work with a professional and why you would want to do it. So is there someone you'd like to, like someone you've worked with recently that you could describe to us and what happened with that?
Yeah. And, you know, before a case study, I mean, I'm happy to go right into a case study. Would it be helpful though, to just give like a very, very like loose general, like timeline of what the process looks like if you were to start working with someone on SEO or trying to go at it yourself,
but bring it in.
Okay. Yeah. I just like very, like at a very high level and the order of things can of course change based on the business and where it's at and what it needs. But like, very generally speaking, you would start with some form of you would start with research. Specifically in SEO, it would be called keyword research. So that's figuring out what are going to be the highest ROI words and phrases for your business to appear in Google for, to rank on page one of Google for. So obviously a lot goes into that, but that's kind of like the first step is figuring out what those terms are. Step two might be on page optimization. So we have all these words and phrases we want to rank for. Now we want to make sure that we have pages on our website that cover those words and phrases. And we want to optimize them for those words and phrases. And then that's where you can get a big SEO checklist where you say, you know, is the keyword in the title tag and the meta description and the heading tag and the alt text and all that kind of, you know, typical stuff. So it's like, once you have the keywords, you have your pages optimized for those keywords, you might do more of like a technical audit. So that's where you're actually auditing the more like behind the scenes technical aspects of a website. That could be what is the mobile experience like how quickly do pages load? Are there any, errors like broken links? Are there 404 errors? Is there duplicate content? Kind of all these more like technical things to make sure your website is just running as smoothly as possible. Then step four, you might be getting more into like content development. So that's where you might be talking about creating new content for your website. to go after maybe terms and phrases that you're not already targeting on with your existing like core site. Step five might be some sort of link building. So it's the process of getting other relevant websites to talk about and link back to your website. And then lastly, I would say just like analysis and reporting. So at least on a monthly basis, tracking your progress and analyzing it and making changes accordingly. So those are kind of like, at least how I look at my business is like, that's six, like kind of, if I divide everything I do is kind of into one of those like six buckets. Mm-hmm. And then I give that kind of background because, you know, again, that's kind of the most typical order I would go through it, but based on the business, there might be some of those things might be more important than others. So like with that preface, I think, to just go through a few things here and feel free to stop me and at any point. You know, kind of the first one that comes to mind, Christina, mostly because it's kind of the one of the six that was most that we did the most with the work I did with you was like content development. So working on new content. So this is a business that they're a health food brand. It's a packaged food product that's sold nationwide in stores like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and a bunch of others. And then they also, of course, sell online through their website and through Amazon and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring this one up is it's they're like just kind of core product. There's not like it's a very, very like niche specific product. They don't have like hundreds or even dozens of products. It's a small niche product offering. So there's not like a ton of search volume around the keywords that are meaningful to them. So it's like we kind of did that basic stuff. We found those keywords. We optimized their pages for them. We did the technical stuff and made sure their website was running smoothly. And we made progress on those keywords. But it's like there was just only so much search volume to be had or traffic to be had from those keywords. So the biggest thing was then getting to work on their blog. And so I guess to make a long story short, I've been working with them for now. It's been going on 3 years, but we didn't even touch the blog until around 6 months in. So we've been blogging for maybe 2.5 years, at a cadence of 2 to 4 posts a month, by the way. So not like, it's not like this, it's a small team. It's not like this content machine where it's stuff coming out every day. It's like 2 to 4 like posts a month. But, from that we've gone from, when I started with them, they were getting about 2,000 visits a month from Google, from non-paid traffic. 2.5 years after that blogging, we're now pushing 200,000 visits a month. And it's about 95% from their blog traffic. So it's, you know, we've made progress on, again, like we're ranking on page one for their like little kind of core, like commercially intended terms, but then the 90%+ of it is from just like relevant, useful informational blog content. That's again, highly relevant to their prospective customers.
And so could you break that down as far as, cause that's what I actually really appreciate about working with you is that you made it clear what kind of content I could generate. You know, a lot of times when we're in a service-based business, we just sit there. I mean, this is what I help people with as well. Like, what the heck should I write about?
Yeah.
You know, I know my people, but I don't always know what they're interested in reading about. Like, bring us into that.
Yeah. Well, with this one, yeah. I mean, with this one in particular, so there, again, it's a health food snack. It's a health snack food. And their primary audience are people that are following like kind of these modern day diets, like paleo and keto and Whole30, AIP, even Weight Watchers. Like the large majority of their audience is following one of those diets because their snack is approved for all those things. So that one was almost a little bit easy because then it's like, okay, think about it as simply, what questions do people have about paleo? What questions do people have about keto? What questions do people have about Whole30? And of course, that's where I come in is I have tools and resources that help that give me those answers. We don't have to just brainstorm them. Like we can actually find them and have data behind it. So if you think about like their kind of the categories on their blog, each of those diets is a category. So like keto is a category, Whole30 is a category. So it's like every post we write kind of fits into one of those categories. And it's just, it's answering a question about one of those categories. So it could be as simple as, a lot of people don't know if sweet potatoes are paleo friendly, right? So we write a really good blog post talking about, are sweet potatoes paleo friendly? Yes or no, here's why. By the way, we also predict, well, if someone that's is asking about if they're paleo friendly, well, they also probably want to know about the nutritional value of sweet potatoes. They might even want some sweet potato recipes. So it's like, we answer the question directly up front, but then we answer the main query up front, but then we expand and we kind of try to predict what other questions people might have, so we can like fully kind of satisfy that the intent of that query.
And this shows again that SEO is not merely mechanical, and it's not, I'm just going to go there, it's not even manipulative as far as like, come see us and we're interesting. And it's, to me, it's really generous from someone who, you know, my whole thing is based on this mindset tool called Generosity Practice. I think about mm-hmm. generous marketing a lot. And so what I'm hearing from you, Zach, is you're paying attention to what people are asking about. Like you're really interested in the potential customers and what their concerns are. To me, that is just as connecting as anything else.
Yeah.
And you're just generating content based on that, what's really relevant to them.
I love the way that you put the things I do, Christina. What, if and when I like relaunch my website, I honestly might have to ping you for some like
you know,
like copywriting consulting. No, really. I mean, I like the way that you just phrase a lot of what I do, and it's I think it's spot on, yet not a way that I've said it before. But yeah, to a point though that you mentioned just a minute ago, like I think it used to be more mechanical, as you call it, because of the algorithms were so much less sophisticated, that it really was more just like I don't know, almost going down a checklist of things and like, oh, we just need like 500 words of content. We need to make sure that this keyword is mentioned every other sentence. And like, you kind of just like, it was just more of like a mechanical checklist. You weren't like actually thinking, like you didn't have to like actually think about what was actually going to be valuable to people. What, when people ask this query, like, what are they really looking for? And like, you wouldn't spend like dozens of hours on a single piece of content, for instance. But as Google's gotten so much better at weeding out, you know, crap results from truly valuable results, and they are really, really good at that now. I just think that like the quality or what's involved in what I do has been largely just based on Google's getting more and more sophisticated with their algorithm. And now they really are able to weed out what's a valuable result from what's not. So now if you want to rank and get traffic, you can't like game it. You genuinely need to create a super valuable result.
Yeah. And what I appreciate about what you're like, the piece of the equation that you're filling in is, what are people actually searching on? Right.
Yeah.
So I know who my people are for the most part, right? I've worked with enough people to understand what they're looking for. I have no idea what they're searching on when they get on mm-hmm. Google.
Right. What they're searching for and how they're searching for it. It's like, even if you have a good idea for a topic, it's very difficult to just kind of guess, okay, here's the topic. I know that my audience has questions about like marketing strategy. Like, how do I just put together like a plan? But like, what are the ways in which they're searching for that topic? Right. And like, what are the exact like words and phrases and language that they're using to find that? And that's where,
not only that, but there's so many people that offer marketing strategy, right? Like, how can I stand out from that? So that's always a challenge.
Well,
you have a general category.
That's another really good point. Like that example, marketing strategy is pretty broad, right? And like, if you wanted to rank, for instance, for marketing strategy, that'd probably be too competitive for you just in your early stages of SEO, right?
Right.
So it's like, what's maybe like a more specific, still has like volume behind it, but what's a more specific query related to marketing? So marketing strategy this, or marketing strategy for life coaches, or marketing strategy right. for health coaches. So like, way less volume, but you could realistically expect to rank for it based on where you're currently at. And that's going to be even more targeted for you though, because since health coaches, real estate, you know, since those are people that, you work a lot with, mm-hmm. though, if that person lands on your article, they're going to be a lot more likely to want to sign up to your newsletter or join your podcast or whatever else.
And the thing is, you know, a lot of my own marketing, just to use me as the case study for a second, my own marketing is all about getting out and doing talks, right? Like I just want to be in front of people and then meet with them afterwards. That's my thing, right? So
right.
Transitioning into more of an online marketing model, which because of COVID, because of everything that's going on, is way more important than it used to be, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like we're forced to become friends with all of these vehicles that we might have resisted in the past.
Yeah.
Right? That, you know, I just sit there laughing my head off. Like when you presented to me one of the search terms, like life coach marketing strategy or marketing plan.
Yeah, something like that. That. Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like, of course they're looking for that. But I just... as a professional, like, again, I'm focused on doing talks. I'm not thinking about what people are searching on, even if it's super obvious.
Right.
So I just want to point that out as far as we don't often see the thing that's right in front of us.
Yeah.
For something like SEO.
Yeah. That's another really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I wanted to ask you about some tips and tricks and, you know, we have time, but I did want to appreciate one of the things you recommended, which I think anyone listening to this can take it and run with it like tomorrow or today, which is what are the books that are relevant to what you're doing? What are you passionate about? Like for me, it's, you know, anything Seth Godin writes or other, you know, Story Brand by Donald Miller, things like that, where it's like, wow, this is really in alignment with what I do. If someone's reading that book and they love it, it's very likely they would love what I do. So if I read that, come up with some, I don't know, like either review the book or just share my favorite quotes. It doesn't even have to be that complicated. I just sat there like, oh my gosh, of course that would be a great thing to post and very, very searchable. Is there anything you wanted to share about that strategy?
No. Yeah. That was an interesting one. And really your business is so, it's so smart, but it's so unique, right? Like there wasn't just like as many just like super like obvious things for you to write about as there would be for a lot of other businesses. And so that's where we actually did need to get a little bit more creative with going down that book route. So the idea is that, again, it's like, what types of things are my prospective customers searching for? What are they interested in? What are they looking for information on? And, you know, kind of, we were looking at some of your, maybe what we thought were maybe some of your more obvious keywords like authentic marketing, generous marketing, marketing voice. Those are great terms, but there's like, so there, it's really, really little search volume around them. And that's why we didn't prioritize those, because while those are great, like kind of buzzwords for you to use and they sound great when you say them, they're just not like known words that people are searching for. So meaning if you rank for it, it's going to drive very, very minimal traffic to your site. So it's like, well, what are some things that people are searching for that should they land on it, they'd be likely to be interested in what you do? That's kind of the quick backstory. And one of those things I thought of was, okay, well, what are some known books that talk about a lot of the things you teach and you consult on and you talk about?
Yep.
And so we identified a couple books, and then we think about, well, what types of content could we create about those books? What are some queries that people are searching for about those books, right? Is there a model or a theory that's used in that book? If so, maybe we take that model and theory, we explain it, we give a couple use case scenarios, we give some actionable tips on how people could take that theory and apply it. And the idea is that then when people go to Google, they've never heard of you, they've never heard of authentic marketing, anything, but they're researching a theory from, you know, Story Brand, I think was one of the books.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get information on it. The idea is that they'll land on your blog post talking all about it and how to apply it and how you teach it to your clients and things like that. Well, that's probably going to be a really, really relevant person to have on your site now that's likely to be interested in all sorts of things that you do. So that was kind of the thought process behind that.
I love that. And I'm also getting an idea as you describe that, Zach, and that is to go on Goodreads for those books and see what people are saying about them. Like, what are people passionate about? That could be like a really good research project too.
Yeah. Just
like, those are my people because they care about this stuff. What phrases are they using? What are they really into?
Yeah. You know, that's without going on another tangent like that. Yeah. There's so many just ways you can find inspiration for things to write about that doesn't have to be like an SEO tool. And you just gave a good one. Another good one I can give you is look at your sent mail. especially if you're a consultant, look at your sent mail. Look at some of your email, like look at common questions you get asked by your clients. Look through some of your emails where you gave like really lengthy, like detailed answers. I do that all the time. So it's like, I'll spend an hour crafting this like email answer to someone and then I'll forget about it. Well, a lot of times that can be turned into a great blog post, right? If that was a super useful email that you wrote to one person, why not spend a little bit more time, format it nicely, add a few images and like publish that on your blog then? So again, your outbox or your sent mail is a real good place for blog topic ideas.
Now, I also noticed that the articles you're recommending that I write, which by the way, for me as a cop, like I'm a writer more than anything else as far as marketing background. But so when you say, hey, Christina, go write these articles, I'm like, woo. I love writing so much. But I thought it was interesting that you recommended 1,500 to 2,500 words. Is there anything you want to say about that? Like that to me sounds like a medium.com article, you know, and it's just like a good substantial article. It's kind of the opposite of what you hear a lot of. It's like, keep it short and sweet.
Yeah. I like when I give like a content brief to a client, I like giving like a suggested word count range. I let it be very known that like I give a range based on the research I did. I look at the top ranking articles first of all. So if it's life coach marketing strategy, I look at the top ranking articles. How long are they? Right. So that's where part of that comes from. In other words, if the top 10 results are all 2,000 words plus, there's no chance you're going to rank with a 500 word article, right? So like that's where part of that comes from. And then I think the second part is just using my own, not intuition, but just my own logic. Like when I look at this topic and I look at all the aspects of the topic, I just kind of think about like, is this a topic that can probably be just fully covered and fully satisfied with 800 words? Or is this like a really big meaty topic that it's like, I can't imagine covering this topic fully without at least 2,000 words, right? But so that's like kind of where like a word count range comes in. And that's kind of the thought process behind my suggested ranges to you. All of that said, I think when it comes to like, particularly like just like informational queries, how to do something or the best this, or like any like informational queries, like, yeah, I mean, more times than not, you want it to be just an in-depth, comprehensive article. Because just think about, like, it's not just answering that very specific question, but also, like, kind of, again, predicting, like, the other questions that the user is likely to have around that. I mentioned, like, are sweet potatoes paleo? Well, I could answer that in one word, technically, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's yes or no, or even, like, a sentence. But the person likely wants more information than a one sentence yes or no. You might give them that concise answer up front, but then they want the background on it. Why are sweet potatoes paleo or not? Again, what are the nutritional benefits? How do they compare to white potatoes? So it's like you're kind of predicting these other answers, and that's why you end up with kind of like longer, more in-depth pieces on a topic.
Love it. And that also makes sense from a trusted advisor standpoint. Like if you're offering a service-based anything, you are thoughtful, you think deeply about whatever it is you do. So 1,500 to 2,500 words, like that seems right. I'm just looking on my Facebook group, and we actually have a question.
Please bring it on.
And this is from Susan Baron Finn, who is a social media maven, and she's also good about email marketing. So she's kind of like our peeps. So she's curious about backlinks and referral sites. Any tips on those?
How many more hours do we have? Backlinks referring to links from other websites. So it's on another website and they are linking to a page on your website. That is a backlink, right? And backlinks are still always have been and are still one of the biggest ranking factors that Google uses in their algorithm to determine where to rank a page. Mm-hmm. So, there's so many tips, right? I think I would just say as a general tip, relevance, it probably matters more than ever. So before, you know, back in the mechanical days, as you called it, right? Like it didn't really matter where you got links from. You could spam a bunch, you could leave a bunch of blog comments on thousands of blogs that link back to your site. You could leave a bunch of links in forum posts. It's like, you could distribute a press release to 20,000 websites that links back to your site. The quality of the backlinks matter more than ever. So quality over quantity. So just make sure you're thinking about, if you're thinking about where to get links from, just know that like it should have some sort of relevance to your business, and it should come from some sort of a reputable, authoritative website in your space in general. That's like kind of like a general rule. I would say as far as specific ideas though, like some of the low hanging fruit things are, one of the first things I would ask a new client is like, make a list of any sort of organization or association you individually or your business is a part of. It could be a chamber of commerce. It could be a nonprofit. It could be some sort of a networking type of an organization. It could be something that you donate money to, like a charity. It could be a local softball team that you sponsor. Like, just make a list of all those things that you are affiliated with in any way, and put them in an Excel sheet, and then go to each one of their websites and see if they have a page on their site where they say, here are our sponsors, here are our donors, here are our a member directory. And it's like, oh, I've been a member of this chamber for 4 years, but I've never like taken 5 minutes to create my member profile. There are very, very often an opportunity on those types of websites to get a link back to your website. And again, it's like, it's free and, or it's part of what you're already paying for, like the Chamber of Commerce example. So that's like a low hanging fruit opportunity for links for sure.
Love it. Yeah. And this is good, because I wanted to get a couple of tips and tricks that people can use right away. Not only getting inspired about SEO and its potential, right? Which, as again, mm-hmm. as I'm hearing you talking, Zach, I'm just really struck by the fact that you're just connecting businesses with their people. Like, yeah. that's what you do. Yeah. I mean, marketers do that in general, but you're doing it in a really tactical.
Yeah. We're just doing it through search engines. We're doing it through the unpaid or organic search results.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it couldn't be more important than it is now, because who the heck knows what's going to happen with COVID? I mean, we could have like another wave. We could have like a third wave. We might be behind our screens for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I hate to say that, but I'm telling you, you know, it could happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to know that there's such support out there. And I know you speak on behalf of any SEO professional that knows what they're doing. Susan says, thank you. So,
no problem. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, you've made it really clear as to why someone would hire a professional, which to me is all about, you know, knowing what people are actually searching for. We can do that research ourselves, and there's ways to do it, but you just do it so much faster. Mm-hmm. And you can also narrow it down. I really appreciated that you gave me a list of five top things that I really need to include. And those are five articles I will write. Very doable. Very yeah. doable.
Yeah.
And it's so gratifying to know that this is actually what people are looking for. I didn't right. even realize how sort of lost and out to sea I was when I sit down to write anything, because I just don't know exactly if someone's going to search for this and it will meet their need. So this right. really fills in that gap, and I very much appreciate it.
One quick thing I'll throw out just kind of on that topic. If you're a free way other than, like I mentioned, you know, ideas for blog topics or what are people searching about, but an actual tool you can use that is so easy to use and it's free is called Answer the Public. It's okay. answerthepublic.com. And what it does is you just type in like a broad keyword. You could type in, you know, marketing strategy, for instance. And it uses, I believe it uses like Google Auto Suggest or something, but it basically gives you all of like the question-based queries about marketing strategy that actually like get typed into Google. In and of itself, it doesn't like give you the search volumes for all those, but it's at least like giving you questions that you could answer. And each question would be a potential blog post. So a strategy, it could say, you know, one of them might be like, it might be like, what is a marketing strategy or how to write a marketing strategy? So it's like,
yeah,
you could, it's at least pulling questions that are actually being typed into Google. And again, it's even just as a thought starter, it's like, again, type in marketing strategy and it's going to spit out like dozens of questions that people are asking about marketing strategy, and just pick the one that resonates with you or that you know you could write a really great answer to. And then that's a blog post right there.
Perfect. I love it. I'm totally going to use that. Although I don't really need it yet. Thanks to your help.
Yeah. You got a few hours of work in front of you still.
For sure. For sure. Well, Zach, I very much appreciate your taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I will put the link to your website, getwebfocus.com,
yes,
in the chat. Well, like in, yeah, in the comments area on the Facebook page. So
great. I appreciate it.
And there you have it. Ways to be strategic and truly connect with the right people using SEO. You want more clients? This is something to consider. So, as usual, you're invited to come join the Innate Marketing Geniuses Facebook group to connect with conscious entrepreneurs who want to market from their deepest why. We support each other to make a difference in the world while getting great clients. What's an innate marketing genius? It's where compassion, action, and joy meet, and you have your own version of that. Just take the assessment at innatemarketinggenius.com. to discover your type, because you might be a nurturer, an adventure guide, a door opener, a steady presence, or a celebrator. Find out in about 10 minutes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts and give it a good rating and a review. It helps people find it. Until next time on Marketing for Humans.